Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. And thanks so much for carving out a few moments to sit with us as we share from the Word of God. We've been doing a study on the covenants, which are the very basis for the entire Bible. God operates within his agreements with Israel and with the church. So God is a God of covenants. He's a covenantal God. He makes these agreements and he keeps these agreements. And we're going to look at some of these agreements today. With me is Bobby Walter. And Bobby, of course, is the regional director of Chosen People Ministries in the greater New York area. And he lives in the true Holy Land, Brooklyn, New York, which has, what's better, you think, pizza or the bagels?
I mean, that's a whole other podcast conversation.
Okay. We will do a culinary podcast sometime about the best foods in Brooklyn. Although I will say this for our friends in Texas especially, watch out because Brooklyn barbecue is coming up. Okay, it's proliferating. It's like they're all having babies. It's just all over Brooklyn, and it's great barbecue. And my favorite one is Dinosaur Barbecue.
I haven't been there.
It's not an appetizing name.
No,
but it is great. So anyway, we'd love to talk more about barbecue. That could actually lead us to a discussion of the Levitical sacrifices, but we've already done that, and we're not going to go there today. We're going to talk about the Davidic covenant. We've been talking about the Abrahamic, the Mosaic, and now the Davidic covenant, and soon we'll get to the new covenant. And so these are some of the foundational covenants that really is the basis for so much of what God is doing through Israel and through the church in these days. And so if you open your Bibles, we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. The other restatement of the covenant, besides in many different psalms, is 1 Chronicles 19. We're going to start with 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 19, and who knows, we might even make it to Isaiah chapter 9, which has some of the most critical passages on the eternality of the Davidic covenant that anybody would could imagine. It's very important that when we look at Israel, and we look at the Middle East, and we try and understand what God is doing in Israel. It's really important to see what's happening today in light of what God said yesterday. And so the Davidic covenant is not only a covenant, like the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, an unconditional covenant, is a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can rest assured that whatever God said would happen is going to happen. And we see that playing out. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. So, Bobby, you're going to begin our journey, and we're going to be Jewish on all this. We're going to go right to left.
Right to left.
Okay?
That's right, yes.
Just like Hebrews written right to left.
Yeah, because, and you know, what you mean by that is by looking in the New Testament first, and specifically in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And the reason we want to start here is because, you know, Mitch, when we talk about the Abrahamic and the Mosaic and the Davidic and the New Covenant, one thing that we see, like a common thread throughout, is this idea of promise, right? God making these promises through the Abrahamic covenant, through the Mosaic covenant even, like we looked at before in Deuteronomy 30, Deuteronomy 32. There is this idea of God's promise to Israel about restoration, about redemption, about regathering to the land. And when we look in the Davidic covenant, we also see promise. Now, what is the promise that all of these covenants are pointing forward to? It's
Yeshua.
It's Yeshua. It's Jesus, the Messiah. The way that the New Testament opens up intentionally draws our attention, draws our minds to this idea of promise through the covenants in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, being fulfilled in the person of Jesus. So this is what it says in Matthew 1, verse 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. So right away, Mitch, right there in that very first verse, we have these two covenant figures that God made covenant promises to, Abraham and David, being mentioned as part of like the part of the identity of Jesus that's being revealed to us.
And Bobby, that's because God's not only interested in the kingdom, mm-hmm. but God also is interested in helping us identify the king.
Exactly.
And so the Davidic covenant, which was given originally, obviously, to King David, the Davidic covenant actually leads us to the greater son of David, who is Jesus the Messiah.
Right.
And so let's begin with verse 8, 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. Now then, this is what you shall say to my servant David. This is what the Lord of armies says. I myself took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be leader over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone. I've eliminated all your enemies from you. I'll also make a great name for you. Sounds like the Abrahamic covenant mm-hmm. in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like the names of the great men who are on the earth. And I will establish a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will malicious people oppress them any more as previously. Now, that is an unbelievable passage for today, because God is not happy with those who oppress Israel. So God brought the Jewish people back to the land after almost 2,000 years of exile.
Mm-hmm.
And though you might say, well, not every Jew is in the land. Well, right now, over 60% of the Jewish people in the world live in Israel. And so it is really the majority of Jewish people and getting more all the time.
Right.
And so it's
and that's the highest percentage of the worldwide Jewish community,
right?
Since before the Babylonian captivity.
Yeah,
so you're talking like 2,600 years.
It's incredibly prophetic, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is.
See,
yeah.
And so we have to look at what's happening in Israel today. So two things: number one, the Jewish people are back in the land. Number two, the Jewish people are being attacked and persecuted, and not only in the land but outside the land because of the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people saying, well, we're not against Israel. We're just against Zionism. Well, you know, Zionism is, you can call Zionism a political philosophy, but Zion is a biblical term. And it's not me. It's not Bobby. It's not anybody else. It's not Netanyahu. It's not the UN.
Mm-hmm.
The one who said that the Jewish people will be back in the land is God himself.
Right.
And he promised that. And you see it here in black and white, and God fulfills his promise. Is it the end of the promise? I think it's the beginning of the promise and its fulfillment. So let me keep reading. Even from the day I appointed judges over my people, Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Oh my, how I long for that day. The Lord also declares that the Lord will make a house for you. So now here's the promise of the house of David,
mm-hmm.
but it is also the promise of a temple. David was worshiping in a tabernacle.
Right.
And that was very different. That was temporary.
Right.
Now David is going to get word that not only you think you're going to build a house for me, let me tell you, I'm going to build a house for you.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah.
And so we can read about it for a moment. And here it is. So the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. That's a palace. And if you've ever been in the city of David, you can kind of see it. You know, you see remnants of it. It's incredible. You should go to Israel, go to the city of David. Verse 12, when your days are finished and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come from you, and I will establish his kingdom.
Mm.
You shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. There are two promises there, at least. I'll be a father to him, bear a son, and he will bear a son to me. When he does wrong, I'll discipline him with the rod of men, with the strokes of the sons of mankind. But my favor shall not or never depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, who I removed from you. And here's the crux of the promise. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and all this vision. So Nathan the prophet spoke to David. And so, Bobby, it's up to you in the time remaining to tell us what's going on here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
that's a lot of pressure.
I promise to interrupt you.
Okay. All right, good. So
go ahead.
Why should this day be any different?
Absolutely not.
So we have a whole lot going on here. First of all, one thing that we need to pay attention to is how God is using these I will statements. So this is similar to the way that we see God speak to Abraham when he makes a covenant to Abraham in Genesis 12. God is essentially putting the onus upon himself to fulfill these promises. And there's no condition that's introduced here. Again, similar to the covenant that God made with Abraham. So a few things that stand out. Number one, God is promising that he's going to raise up a descendant of David, someone from David's line, after David has died. Okay, so after David has gone the way of his fathers. I will raise up a descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. So God is promising that he's going to establish the kingdom of one of these Davidic descendants. And then he goes on and he talks about how this descendant of David will build a house for God's name. And then God will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So this kingdom, this throne that God is going to establish for this Davidic descendant is going to be an eternal throne.
And we see a temporal fulfillment in the building in Solomon.
Yeah.
Building the temple.
Correct.
So that was a house for God.
Right.
God wouldn't have been too happy about the Babylonians dismantling his house, would he?
No, he wasn't. That's why he brought judgment upon the Babylonians eventually. Even though he used the
Find me a Babylonian, you know?
Right. So another unique part of the promise here that God makes is in verse 14, which I think is really special as followers of Yeshua, followers of Jesus. With our understanding of the identity of Jesus as not just the son of David, but as the son of God.
Absolutely.
Because God says, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. So this descendant of David would have a father-son relationship with God. Like that is profound. That is incredible. And then when we keep reading, it says, when he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. So this is where it gets...
Here's the uncomfortable interpretational question.
Yeah.
So did God ever discipline Yeshua because of something that Yeshua did?
Not because of something that Yeshua did, but...
However. Who did it?
We did it. Yeah. All of us like sheep have gone astray. And what's interesting, even these words that are used here in 2 Samuel 7... to describe committing iniquity, correcting him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men, the same Hebrew terms are used later on in Isaiah 53,
right,
describing the suffering that the servant of the Lord endures on behalf of the iniquities and crimes and transgressions and sins of the many.
And even though Saul was a man, God intended for that throne to last forever. I mean, God reluctantly gave Saul to the Jewish people as a king. Tall, good-looking, strong, you know, but bad character.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, of course, has perfect character.
Right.
And so Jesus has an eternal throne. Saul had a temporary throne. And so we follow, we worship an eternal king. And in verse 16, we learn that the kingdom will endure forever, the throne forever. And so that's really important. And so whatever this greater son of David would establish would be eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Isaiah speaks about an eternal son of David sitting on the throne of David forever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the New York City area? Chosen People Ministries invites you to our Interfaith Passover Banquet. During Passover, we remember God's mercy in delivering Israel from Egypt. We also honor Jesus as the sacrificial lamb who made a way for us through his ultimate sacrifice. Join Dr. Mitch Glazer as he guides us through the timeless rituals of this festival and experience what Jesus and his disciples share together. As Jesus himself said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And if you have a Jewish friend, invite them to join you at no cost. Join us on Tuesday, April 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Union Lee Club in Manhattan. Space is limited. That's Tuesday, April 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. Reserve your spot now by calling 800-246-0762. Again, that's 800-246-0762. We look forward to celebrating with you. Shalom!
Well, welcome back. You're listening to The Chosen People, and I'm so delighted to be able to take the opportunity to answer some of the excellent questions you've been sending our way by phone, by email, and I hope that you'll continue to ask questions because there's nothing that Bobby and I love more than teaching the Bible and talking about God's Word. And so we have a question from Adrian in Virginia, and he did a good job of expressing it and articulating it because it's a little complicated, the question. And the question is this, Bobby, see if you can take a shot at it. Paul writes that there are Jewish people who are Jews from the inside, not the outside, in Romans 9:6. Paul also talks in Romans chapter 11 about an olive tree, and it's an illustration of Jewish and Gentile relationships where both the Jews and the Gentiles feed off of the rich root of the olive tree. And that word for rich, by the way, is the Greek word, which really should be translated fat. So there's a lot of food for everybody. And so we want to know, Bobby, what is it? Can the Jewish people still be God's chosen people if they don't believe in Jesus? If so, what happens to the Jewish people as a nation? And what happens to the Jewish people individually? And do Gentiles become Jews when they become believers in Jesus? Or how does all that work?
Yeah. Adrian, thank you so much for this question. And Mitch, hopefully you'll chime in. I do mean that, yeah. Mitch, I hope that you'll chime in. I mean, there's a lot that we could say here, a lot of directions that we could take it. First of all, I think it's good to think in categories, right? Because sometimes we're just like, this is how our minds work. And this whole idea of chosenness. So one of the things that came up in Adrian's question was, being chosen or being God's chosen people, does that have to do with salvation all the time?
Right.
Does that have to do, if you are chosen, does that mean, or does that only mean that you are saved, okay, and heading to the kingdom,
right,
to heaven?
How does the Bible use the word chosen?
Right, yeah. Right. So, or does it just mean, you know, chosen in the sense of, you know, Israel chosen as God's nation that is set apart for his purposes,
right?
And the answer is yes, okay? in some cases, the word chosen is used to describe people who are God's elect, who are God's set apart people, who are born again, whether Jewish or Gentile, who have been born again, placed their faith in the Messiah Jesus as the only means of redemption and salvation, okay? Yes, that is what chosen means. And at the same time, we see chosen used to describe the broader Jewish people, the nation of Israel, that set apart people group that God has chosen for his purposes. Now, the tension.
So you're suggesting that there's a national election and an individual election.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. Yeah, and that even there could be some from the chosen nation, Israel, who do believe in Jesus as the Messiah. So it's almost like they're twice chosen.
It's kind of like a very wonderful way to make potatoes, twice baked potatoes. Mm. So I'm a twice chosen Jew.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. And then the question could be, are there some Jewish people part of the chosen nation who have not believed in Yeshua, who have not believed in Jesus? And yes, that's also the case.
Using the word chosen, Bobby, is a complicated issue because we have some of our brothers and sisters out there who are very concerned about the overuse of the word chosen. Some are Calvinistic, some are non-Calvinistic, and we love you all, and you'll never know what we are. But we love you all. We try to be biblical, like you try to be biblical. And let's be honest, the word ekklesia, the Greek word, is used of Israel in Romans chapter 11 as a nation. Mm-hmm. And soza, which is the Greek word for salvation, is used primarily for individuals, at least in the New Testament. Of course, it's Greek. And so there's definitely an election for salvation that's national, and that's based on the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant and God's future plan for Israel and the Jewish people, that one day he will actually do something that's surprising and bring an unbelieving Jewish people to the land of Israel. And when they're in the land of Israel, then they will experience the wind of the Spirit and turn their hearts to Jesus the Messiah. Then they will become Jews on the inside as well as Jews on the outside.
Right.
And so I am a Jew on the inside because I've accepted Jesus, and therefore I am chosen according to the Bible. How you want to understand that word chosen, talk to your pastor. Mm. But when it comes to the nation of Israel, how do you want to understand the word chosen? Well, it's not for personal salvation, but it is for national restoration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am part of the Jewish people covenantally based upon the Abrahamic covenant. And I'm so happy to join with, as a natural branch, to join with my Gentile brothers and sisters who have been grafted in. And it's wonderful that we are unified, we are one, but the land promises primarily belong to the Jewish people. But the Jewish people will not inherit the land promises until the Jewish people are finally, right with God through accepting Jesus the Messiah. So we look forward to that great and glorious day. But right now, for a ministry like Chosen People, we know that God will keep his national promises to Israel and the Jewish people, but we're more concerned with the personal promise of salvation. Soza, we want Jewish people to be saved and to go to heaven. And we know that God will take care of the national promises. But, you know, each individual Jewish person needs to come to faith in Jesus the Messiah to be personally saved. So can you be both nationally elect and personally elect? The answer is yes. Can you go to heaven without accepting Jesus as your Savior? The answer is no. Do Gentiles become Jews and also inherit the land promises given to Abraham because they've embraced Jesus as Messiah? No. So there are some distinctions within the body of Christ, just like there's men and women, Jews and Gentiles. However, we are all one. And that's a glorious, glorious truth. One and unity means more, actually, when there's complexity and diversity. And so we are one, but we are diverse. And so as one twice chosen to once chosen, you got the better end of the deal.
Thank you so much for tuning in to The Chosen People. We are so grateful that you joined us today, and we want to stay in touch with you. So we want to invite you to check out our website. Just go to chosenpeople.com/radio. And if you go there and fill out your information, click the right link, you will then receive a gift from us. And this month, we would like to offer you a copy of The Gospel in the Passover, which is such a good resource.
You can even share the gospel with a Jewish friend through the Passover by reading through this book and learning what it has to say. It's a very helpful training book for evangelism, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, just visit us, chosenpeople.com/radio. And you can also reach out to us. We love hearing from you, whether it's emails or questions. If you want to send us an email, just reach out to us. The email address is radio@chosenpeople.com. That's radio@chosenpeople.com. Or you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail. The phone number to call is 914-288-1466. And now we'd like to close out our time with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. V'yisem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar Shalom. in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.